Coordinated, episode 207, Spirit of Service, Julie in Illinois.
Greetings, AP coordinators. I'm Derek Cometa, former AP coordinator, now senior director, AP coordinator experience for the AP program.
And I'm Carly Suge, school counselor and AP coordinator.
Thanks for joining us and welcome to a very special five-part mini-series of our coordinated podcast.
Our theme is Spirit of Service, something I think many AP coordinators have in common. And that's a genuine passion to make meaningful contributions to our schools and especially our students.
So today, we are excited to share a conversation with two AP coordinators, Carly Suge and Julie Lamb. Once again, it's time to get coordinated.
All right. I'm so excited to visit, at least virtually, one of my favorite cities. Today, we're just outside of the Windy City, otherwise known as Chicago, Illinois. And we're chatting with our special guest, Dr. Julie Lamb. Hey, Julie, how's the weather in Chicago? Or is that a mean question for someone in Southern California to ask in the middle of winter?
Hi, it's a little bit mean, but it is actually warm enough here today for it to rain. So it's not snowing, it's not windy, but it is raining today.
Nice. So I can't wait to talk about your school, but let's start with a little background. Is the Chicago area home for you? Were you born and raised there?
Yeah, I was raised in Chicago, but I wasn't born in Chicago. I immigrated to the United States as a refugee at a very young age, 11 months old to be exact, and landed in Chicago, Illinois. So I was raised there and attended school in CPS, a shout out to my alma mater, Walt Disney Magnet School. And I did move into the surrounding suburbs as a teenager along with my parents. So I love the city. I loved it so much that I returned for my undergrad studies. I decided to attend Loyola University Chicago. So I have lots of connections to Chicago and often return because it's also such a good foodie city as well.
Yeah. And how about Moore College? I'm excited because I'm told that we might have something in common.
Yes. So I decided to embark on a very innovative graduate program for its day. So when I decided to pursue my master's degree, I decided to major in my subject area. So I'm a former high school science teacher and specifically biology, and I decided to get my master's degree in biology. So the University of Arizona in Tucson had an innovative program for current practicing teachers where we took courses online during the school year, and then we moved and lived in Tucson over the summer.
Ooh.
Yes, over the summer in Tucson. The first day that I landed, on the airplane, the pilot usually announces the weather. So he announced that it was 114 degrees that day in June. So that was a rough awakening for me, but I had great experiences there. I did research in plant genetics and bioinformatics, and I got to not only work at the University of Arizona at the Jorgensen Laboratory, but also the Bio5 Institute in Tucson as well.
Wow, what an incredible journey. I'm sure your favorite part was your time in Tucson, right? As you might have guessed, that's where I went to school as well. Great school, bear down.
Bear down. So I love the connection. Yes, my years in Arizona were good ones. Hey, so Carly, when you were at U of A, University of Arizona, did you know you wanted to become a counselor?
Well, I knew I wanted to work with kids, and practically my whole family are educators, so I wasn't sure exactly where I would end up. Who knew that a few years later, I'd be back at the same high school I attended as a student, but now as a counselor? And how about you, Julie? How did you decide on a career in education? Was it something you planned on, or?
It really wasn't until later on in high school. It was actually my experience in one of the couple of AP classes that I took. So my senior year, I took AP biology, and I just found that I had a natural inclination towards the subject. I found it interesting, and I was also good at it. And I was also challenged by the materials that were presented in the class itself. So I decided my senior year that I wanted to become a high school science teacher, specifically focusing on biology.
And so now you are at Oak Park and River Forest High School. How long have you been there and what's your role there?
So this is my third year at Oak Park and River Forest High School. It is a blip on the map compared to how old the school is. This year, we're celebrating our 150th anniversary. So 3 years doesn't seem like such a long time in the grand scheme of things at OPRF. But I've been serving as the Director of Student Learning.
That's amazing. 150 years. That's incredible. Can you tell us a little bit more about your school?
Sure. We are the Huskies. We are a very large public high school right outside of Chicago. We border the Chicago neighborhood of Austin. And we have residents from Oak Park and River Forest, Illinois, attending our school. And like I said before, with the 150 years of history, rich history that the school has, we have many teachers and employees who are alumni of the school, but some of them are second, third. The highest I've heard is someone was fifth generation OPRF.
Wow.
So some of the families have been there for a really long time and celebrate its tradition. And we do have a very rich tradition. So we teach Latin, and we have a room specifically designed for it called the Latin Room. So there's marble, there is a bust of Caesar, there's frescoes painted on the walls. And then we also have our beloved Hemingway Room, because he was probably our most famous alum, Ernest Hemingway, graduating from OPRF over 100 years ago.
Oh my goodness, that is incredible. Thanks for sharing that. So let's talk about AP. I mean, this is the Coordinated podcast. So first, how did you become the AP coordinator?
So this is my seventh year as an AP coordinator, and I came to the role before I joined OPRF. So prior to my role as Director of Student Learning, I was the Assistant Principal of Curriculum and Instruction at Oswego East High School in Oswego, Illinois. And part of the AP of CNI role also included being AP coordinator. So my very first year as AP of CNI, I was also in my first year as AP coordinator. So there was a lot of learning to do, but I had a lot of great supports, including some of the other APs, but also our secretarial and counseling staff, who had a lot more experience than I did. But I spent some time reading that manual from cover to cover, making sure that I knew all the details to be prepared, because just like OPRF, Oswego East is a very large high school. So Oswego East was about 2,700 students, and OPRF were a little over 3,300 students.
And speaking of that, can you share a little bit about the AP program at your school?
Yes. So currently at OPRF, we have a very large AP program. We have 27 courses, and I could actually say we have 28 because we are in the second year pilot of AP African American Studies. So a wide and diverse array of college level classes that we offer our students, no matter what interests that they have or whatever career and college goals that they have as well. And we have also big AP exam administrations. I was told that last year, one of our biggest digital administrations for AP English language and composition, I believe we had just a little under 450 students, was probably in the top five of biggest digital administrations in Illinois that May.
Wow. At my school, students enrolled in AP courses have the option of taking AP exams. Of course, we strongly encourage them to do so, but we don't require it. How does this work at your school?
We also don't require students to take the AP exam, but just like you, we strongly encourage students to do so. We do a lot of communication starting at the beginning of the school year to talk about AP Classroom, you know, getting those join codes from the teachers, making sure that they're in and they can access the online resources that College Board has. And some of our teacher teams, because we have such a large AP program, have really taken upon themselves to be aligned with one another in the usage of AP Classroom, but also using other resources like the CEDs. So making sure that students have access to the resources, and no matter which section or which teacher you have a very similar experience and have a high chance for success on the AP exam.
This is actually a great segue into what I wanted to talk about next. On this subject of access to AP and encouraging students to take AP exams, what are some suggestions you might have for those who are looking to expand their AP programs, but maybe having some challenges doing so?
Yeah, that's a great question, because our academic catalog for such a large school can be very intimidating. This past week, I spent some time with incoming freshman families, and I see their faces when they see our academic catalog. It's twofold, though. It can be daunting and overwhelming, but they are always impressed by the number of course offerings that we have. Because like I said before, we have something for everyone, no matter your interests or what you want to be challenged in. But to really expand the AP program and making sure that the students who are interested in being in those classes and can benefit from being in those classes are in those classes, we make sure that students are aware of the benefits of being in the AP program. So counselors, AP teachers, division heads, myself as the AP coordinator, we make sure that we communicate very often and very clearly with our students and families so that they can make informed decisions about their enrollment. And we also recognize there's a balance as well. So we always want students to challenge themselves and pursue paths that interest them. But we also want them to have a nice and balanced high school experience as well. So one of the things that I thought about a couple of years ago when I was in my doctorate program was similar to the experiences I had as a high school student. So I actually wasn't really aware of the AP program. I was first generation, and my parents didn't really know how to advise me because they never attended high school in America. So I relied so heavily on the educators in my life, especially my counselor. So shout out to Mr. Tyler. And he was the one who first suggested to me to try an AP class. So in high school, I ended up taking three AP classes that included AP US Government, AP Calc AB, and also AP Biology. And AP Biology was where I found my true calling. So with my doctoral studies, I thought about how do we do outreach to students and parents so that they are aware of the benefits of the AP program and can really make those informed choices. Because it wasn't until Mr. Tyler talked to me that I knew that I could enroll in courses like this and potentially earn college credit. So I decided to use a tool called AP Potential, and that has given me another set of data for students who may be able to be successful but aren't currently sitting in those classes. So my team and I, we did a lot of outreach to the students and the families themselves, not necessarily to push them into classes, but to make sure that they were informed and that they can make those informed decisions alongside teachers and counselors and administrators as well.
All right. Thank you for sharing all of that. So now let's talk about us. As fellow AP coordinators, I have a few very detailed questions I've been dying to ask. You have a big AP program. So what's your largest single testing session?
So last May, it was the AP English Language and Composition, and we had a little under 450 students register for the exam. And in our standard administration, we had around 400 or so students. And we used our field house because that was one of the only spaces in the school that could hold that number of students digitally testing at one time.
Oh my gosh. So you had around 400 students testing at one time. That is crazy. My question is, how do you facilitate randomized seating for your exams?
So it all starts with training with our proctors and our room monitors as well. So as students arrive, we actually had quadrants laid out in the field house so that it could make the number of students a little bit more manageable. Because if you can imagine trying to check in 400 or so students, it can become very overwhelming. So when we divided them into quadrants and had proctors and room monitors also checking them in, we made sure that after they checked in, they put away their things, but we may direct one student who walks in, you're over here in the front, and then the next student, you're over here in the back of the quadrant, and kind of using that pattern until all of the seats are filled.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Speaking of sharing, based on your years of experience, what's your number one tip for someone who is relatively new to the role of AP coordinator and also has a big AP program like you?
My one tip is to make sure that you know not only your own philosophy, but also your school and your school district's philosophy about the AP program. And what I mean by that is, our philosophy is we encourage our students to take courses that interest and challenge themselves. We don't require all of our students to take the AP exam, but we do strongly encourage it. And so when we have those conversations with students and their families, when we say we strongly encourage it, when they make that decision, we support them either way. And when they say, yes, we want to take the test, we make sure that we communicate clearly and consistently so that they have all the resources that they need to be prepared. Because as the AP coordinator and the director of student learning, that's one thing that I can think of on exam day. You know, we don't want our students experiencing something or seeing something for the very first time. So for example, when we rolled out with digital testing last year and used Blue Book, we made sure that we talked with our teachers so that they are familiar with Blue Book and that they were using it in their classroom for practice so that when students came on test day, they weren't seeing that technology for the very first time and they felt prepared and ready to succeed.
Julie, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was so great to meet you. We appreciate you making the time.
Thank you. And I appreciate the invitation for the Coordinated podcast. I've listened to episodes in the past, and I'm so excited to now be a guest on one.
Well, we're happy to have you. Hey, before we wrap it up, do you have time for one more final question?
Sure.
So if you've been listening to our podcast, then you probably know what's coming. Our theme for this mini-series of Coordinated podcast episodes is Spirit of Service. When you hear that, when you hear spirit of service, what does that mean to you?
I have been listening to the podcast, and I was hoping you'd ask that question. Spirit of service to me is that we support our AP students wherever they are and be prepared with all the rich resources that College Board and the school has so that they feel safe, secure, welcome, and that they're prepared to succeed.
Fellow AP coordinators, thanks for joining us. We've made it through four fantastic interviews in our quote-unquote Spirit of Service interviews. The finale of our five-part series is coming up next episode. You won't want to miss it. Stay tuned. And on behalf of AP Program Delivery and the AP Coordinator Experience team, we do absolutely appreciate you. and for all our support of AP students. Yep, our support. AP coordinators, we are truly good as gold.
I'm good as gold.
AP coordinators, we're back. The annual Back to School Workshop, just for AP coordinators, is back. And better than ever. Year after year, this is by far the most popular and well-attended event for AP coordinators. Workshops are available during the day, evening, and even on the weekends. They launch in July and continue through September. Plan on joining us just before your school year begins. Check out the show notes for a link to register right now, or you can go to collegeboard.org/AP Coordinator Experience. That's collegeboard.org/AP Coordinator Experience. Register now for your preferred date and time, and we'll see you at the workshop.